1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Hello and welcome to an unexpected episode of Travel is Dangerous, because after the controversy of my last one, I began to wonder if the rewards from doing this were really worth all the stress, worry and, well, frankly, criminal abuse. Now, I get it. This comes with the territory. If you choose to engage with complex, dangerous people, then sooner or later, a pair of losers are going to put on silly voices and pretend to be Jedward. Incidentally, I've left that episode up because I want everyone to know the kind of people we're dealing with here. They're not curious, they're not interested in dialogue, and the Irish accents are frankly shit. And no, I don't expect any accolades for exposing them, but, well, one or two would be nice. But the point is, I needed a break, and I've been meaning to visit Washington DC for quite a while, so after the dust settled, I thought, why not? There's a few quid left in the old fund. Just a few, mind. Dad, if you're listening, the well hasn't quite run dry, but it could do with a few coins thrown in. Seriously though, it's getting pretty barren, so if you could reply to one of the many texts I've sent recently, that would be much appreciated. Anyway, DC. So, believe it or not, I was supposed to have a companion on this trip. As you all know, I spend a lot of time at my local food bank, and I recently hit it off with a young vegan volunteer called Freya. We had a few laughs, went out for coffee, and I invited her to come to the States with me. Now, that may sound a bit forward, but we'd known each other almost a week at this point. I'm pretty sure that's acceptable. Anyway, Freya clearly thought so, because she said yes. And we were all set for a wonderful adventure, until she got a better offer. So while I was boarding a flight to the US alone, she was jetting off to spend 6 weeks at a kibbutz in Goa, wherever that is, which naturally she told me after I'd spent over 500 English pounds on a ticket. But I'm not one to sulk. I mean, I did. At one point, I even got down on my knees and begged her to reconsider, but she made her mind up, and apparently I have to respect that. So let's hope Freya has a good trip, and fingers crossed she isn't struck down with dysentery or gang raped on a bus. Obviously, if that happens, I'll be horrified, but, well, she can't say she wasn't warned. Anyway, this had a terrible effect on my mental health and my geographical knowledge too, as it was only when I was boarding the plane I realised Dad's secretary had booked me on a flight not to Washington DC, but Washington State. Yeah, Seattle, Tacoma to be exact, which, as well as being on the wrong side of the country, is also the most dismal, rain-drenched shed I've ever set foot in. So thanks for that, Sheila. And that's not me being snarky, I genuinely am thankful. Because as a result of her pea-brained error, something magical happened. So while I sat in that airport scanning Freya's Facebook page, or apparently she did get dysentery, which is quite amusing. No word yet on the gang rape thing, but give it time. Anyway, as I was about to log off, a message popped up from an American fan who told me about an interesting case involving a young man who'd been sentenced to 6 months in prison for terrorising a family in Mount Rainier National Park. Turned out this fan had seen my post asking if there was anything interesting to do in Seattle and wanted me to know that this man had recently been released, was staying in the Seattle area and very keen to talk. So I put my journalist hat on and took a deep dive. And, well, let's just say stuff this hot doesn't land in your lap every day. So I booked a hotel room, spent the week prepping, and, well, to cut a long story short, I'm currently sitting in Green Lake Park on an uncharacteristically dry Seattle afternoon opposite, well, Bigfoot. That's right, Bigfoot, or to use the name he's been going by recently, Brian Roderick. Now, before you think Conway's finally lost it, trust me, there's a lot of background to this. I won't lie, it's a very outlandish tale, and it may be impossible for some of you to believe. But as you know, I'm not here to judge. Not Brian, nor his story, nor his clearly quite severe mental illness. So, Brian, it's lovely to meet you.
Thank you, Matt. It's lovely to meet you too.
Okay, I'm going to dive straight in. You don't look like a Bigfoot, or sound like one. What's the deal?
So, you're quite correct. I don't currently look, sound, or behave like an, as you say, Bigfoot. But trust me, for the first 235 years of my life, I was, you know, all animal.
I noticed you said Bigfoot in air quotes there. Why was that?
Well, it's an archaic term coined by ignorant humans, but, you know, in the interest of clarity, I'll allow it.
Okay, thanks. So, you look to all intents and purposes like a normal human being, albeit a short-sighted one. Why is this?
So, like I said, I lived for 235 years as a Bigfoot, Sasquatch, whichever crude non-de-plume you prefer. I was born and raised in the Pacific Northwest, where I spent most of my youth. Indeed, many of the Bigfoot sightings in this area over the last few centuries involved either me or my family. In a nutshell, in the 90s, the US government formed a top-secret cryptozoology department whose goal was to capture and study one of my kind, and, well, guess who drew the short straw?
Right, so did you look like a Bigfoot then?
I did, yeah. During this period, I was around 10 feet tall, 650 pounds, covered in hair. You know the drill.
Oh, like Harry from the film?
Similar, yes, but, you know, that was a man in a suit. I was the real deal.
Okay, so what happened after they captured you?
Well, I could write several books on my time at the facility, and I'm actually weighing up some publishing offers right now. But essentially, what happened was I was put through an experimental socialization course intended to tame my animal nature and transform me into a fully functioning human being.
And what went wrong?
I beg your pardon?
Sorry, I mean, you know, what? How did they do that?
So for several decades, I was administered a smorgasbord of high-dosage mind-expanding drugs, coupled with regular rounds of extreme hormone therapy. I was then gradually domesticated, taught to read, write, talk, use a knife and fork.
Right, but what was the purpose of turning you into a human?
That's a very good question, and, you know, I spent years entertaining some, frankly, silly explanations. But with the benefit of hindsight, I now believe the intention was to create a hyper-intelligent master race.
And how would they do that?
Well, in captivity, they took regular samples, blood, bone, cartilage, tissue, semen, etc., which I've since been informed contained above-average levels of Bigfoot DNA. So, with this in mind, it appears the plan was to assimilate me in a human society as a super-powered guinea pig whose entire purpose was procreation. Which makes sense, you know, no adult human female wants to be impregnated by a 10-foot animal, but an above-average guy like me stands half a chance. If the experiment proved successful, I believe they planned to capture what remained of my tribe and continue the process ad infinitum. What they didn't bank on was their program working too well.
What do you mean by that?
Well, look at me. I'm kind of badass.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. But what I don't get is, why did they turn you into a short man with glasses?
Oh, I do apologize for not having perfect vision. A few years ago, I could see in the dark, can you?
Well, no,
so
but
you admit you're talking out of your hoo-ha. FYI, my eyes may seem deficient in 20/23, but during my heyday, these bad boys were practically infrared.
But they're not now.
No, as I said, the drugs and hormones cause my body to devolve at an accelerated rate. Kind of like a reverse Wolverine. You're not going to let some dude walk around with infrared eyes, that's crazy. I used to be 10 foot tall, too. If I stayed that way, it'd be pretty tough to blend, don't you think? But well done for mocking my physicalities. Great start.
Oh, I wasn't mocking.
You know, considering 30 years ago I was covered in hair and didn't know how to use a bathroom, I think I look pretty good. What's your excuse?
Well, we're not here to discuss my body.
Probably a good thing. Not much to discuss.
Okay. Point taken. So, since coming out, you've inevitably been accused of lying. Not least from, well, your parents.
Oh, you mean the gold-digging geriatrics from Nebraska who claim I'm their unemployed 40-year-old son?
That's them, yeah.
Never met these people.
Well, they seem to know you.
Of course they knew. It's part of the grift. These uneducated hillbillies say I disappeared 2 years ago with their life savings. I believe you humans call this slander?
Well, they were pretty convincing. I mean, they released a photo of the son, also called Brian. And, well, he certainly looks like you.
Yeah, that photo was me.
So they are your parents?
No, Matt, they're stooges. A bereaved couple who've been brainwashed into believing I'm their dead son. You think it's beyond the government to use doctored photos and two gullible dimwits to discredit me? Are you that naive?
But why would they do that?
Simple. Their plan backfired. You know, they can't control me, so they're trying to frame me as a lunatic. Keep your eyes peeled for a Brian Roddick deepfake confessing everything. It's coming.
Really?
I know how these guys work, Matt. They wanted me to be a good pet and play along. Well, too bad, Uncle Sam. The genetically modified cat is out of the bag.
But surely you can see why people might be suspicious of a missing young man and a serial fantasist who looks just like him.
Like I said, never met this couple.
Okay, but it's not just them, is it? I mean, according to Brian's former colleagues at Wendy's, in the 6 months he worked there, he claimed to be a Martian, Bill Cosby's love child, and the ghost of General Custer.
It was actually the reincarnation of General Custer, but please, go on.
So was you?
No, I simply researched this fellow. And I find it highly convenient that he disappeared, or rather, was disappeared, weeks before I left the lab. But, you know, the idea that me and this deluded fool are the same person, I mean, come on, this man thought the Earth was flat.
You were flat earther?
No, this loser from Wendy's was. I've been on this planet for 266 years, man. I know what shape it is. The Earth is resolutely not flat.
Well, that's good to hear.
It's more like a snow globe.
Oh, Christ.
The underside is flat, but the surface looks kind of like a dome. If you'd like to know more, I can...
That's fine. I don't want to get sidetracked. So, help me get this timeline straight.
Oh, I'm doing your homework for you now?
No, I just need to know when you first became human.
So, I've been passing as a homo sapien for 5 years and 3 months now. Not quite as long as Elon Musk, but I've got a few years on Greta Thunberg. Of course, I wasn't released
until... Hang on. Elon Musk and Greta Thunberg are big feet.
Of course, though neither are as advanced as myself. I mean, have you heard Elon talk? Thank God my speech therapist knew her job.
Well, him I can understand, but Greta, I mean, she seems so normal.
Yeah, you'd think differently if you saw her eating a chicken dinner.
So how many more of you are there?
Around 50 that I'm aware of, though I'm told the pandemic cut that total by about a third. We don't do masks and jabs.
Well, I had no idea. And you can tell just by looking at them?
Usually, yeah, as most were assimilated before their treatment was complete. Which happened to me too, though I guess I just had the mental strength to deal with it.
Interesting. So you didn't finish your treatment either?
That's correct, yeah. To the untrained eye, I appear fully human, but the only giveaway is my feet.
What's wrong with your feet?
Well, as a result of my hormone therapy being cut short, they essentially remained in their original form.
What, covered in hair?
Hair, claws. Well, take a look under the table, Matthew. It's kind of obvious.
Okay, sorry, I didn't realize. Right. And these are your Bigfoot feet.
That's right. Pretty cool, huh?
Right. I'm starting to get the feeling you're having me on here.
Well, facts don't care about your feelings, man.
Okay, well, the facts are you're wearing a pair of fluffy slippers.
No, I'm not.
Come on, they're all soft and spongy.
For which there is a sound scientific explanation.
Oh, I can see the label.
It's not a label, it's an electronic homing device.
Oh, for God's sake, look at how shiny they are.
Oh, so looking after my fur is a crime now, huh? I follow a strict hot oil regime, is that okay? You know, perhaps your hair could use a little extra TLC, you ever thought of that?
For God's sake, they're bright blue.
Yeah, and what does that tell you, Mr. Science Major?
Well, it tells me you probably bought them at the Disney store.
Ah, yes. Monsters, Inc. God, I haven't heard that one 1,000 times before. If you must know, the blue tinge is caused by air pressure, and the electronic tag transmits a low frequency to prevent my toes overheating.
Is this the same electronic tag that says Pixar?
You're looking at that upside down. It says Raxid. Raxid. Which you'd know if you'd done 10 seconds of research was my unique code name.
Okay. I'll tell you what. This is supposed to be a crime podcast, so do you want to tell us what you were jailed for?
Don't have that info either, huh? Boy, you're really knocking it out of the park today, Matt.
I know why you were jailed. I'm just asking you... You really need to stop taking everything the wrong way.
Oh, I do apologise, but, you know, being wrongly imprisoned kind of makes a guy a bit edgy, you know?
Right, well, let's hear more about that then.
Well, the facts, as reported, weren't incorrect. On the morning of the 5th of August, 2021, I approached a family enjoying a picnic a few miles north of Mount Rainier and subjected them to a violent assault wearing nothing but a chef's hat.
So you weren't wrongly imprisoned then?
No, I was wrongly imprisoned because the incident was not a violent assault but an unfortunate accident.
Right, so how can punching two children and dunking their dad's head into a lake be an accident? And why were you wearing a chef's hat?
I don't claim the attack was an accident, though I reject the term punching. You know, a punch from these fists would have killed both brats. It was more a series of gentle slaps. And the father fell headfirst into the lake chasing me. The dunking occurred when I tried to resuscitate him and his unhinged wife stuck me with a camping stove. Though I can only speculate as I have zero memory of the entire incident.
Imagine that. So what do you remember?
Very little other than waking up naked in the woods with a white hat on my head, left there as a goof by a couple of college kids who apparently found me sleeping, assumed I was inebriated, and stole my clothes. What they didn't realize is I was actually exhausted, having spent the day in a fugue state, which caused my psyche to regress to its primitive origins, triggered, I believe, by being in the wild for the first time since my capture. So, after wandering the woods for hours, I came across a camping area. Unfortunately, when this family and their overweight children started laughing and staring at me, well, I went straight back under. Next thing I knew, I woke up in a police cell with
no recollection.
No recollection, correct.
And this was caused by nature.
Nature, climate, the great outdoors. It seems that particular environment somehow taps into my past trauma and kind of temporarily reconfigures my brain.
Okay. I tell you what, it's getting a bit cold out here. Do you want to continue this inside in the cafe?
No, I'm fine.
Okay, just say if you'd prefer to go inside, though. So, this fog thing, it sounds fascinating. Is there anything else that triggers it?
Stress, anger, annoyance. It could be anything from a rude family pointing and laughing at me to, I don't know, someone asking inane questions and not taking my story seriously, you know?
Yeah, I get that. Actually, can I have another look at those feet? I think... Oh, yes. I must have caught them in the wrong light before. Oh, now I see it. Oh, they're clearly real. Oh, Christ, look at those claws. I'll bet you've torn a few coyotes apart with them, haven't you?
And one or two humans.
I'll bet. Oh, by the way, you were right about Harry and the Andersons. Pure shit. King Kong, that was rubbish too.
So I've heard, yeah. See, the scientists who developed the program considered US pop culture detrimental to our growth, so aside from an extensive library of science, history, philosophy books, the only entertainment was a selection of British social realist television dramas from the 70s. Hard-hitting stuff.
Oh, right. Well, yeah, that was an interesting era. Did you have any favourites?
Oh, they were all fascinating, but I was most impressed by two short films called Robin's Nest and It Ain't Half Hot, Mom.
I don't think I've seen them.
Oh, you should check them out. They're awesome. You know, I had no idea polyamory and homosexuality were so widely accepted back then. You guys were ahead of your time.
Well, we're not all bad.
And not for nothing, absorbing those delightful British accents did wonders for my speech therapy. Not sure I quite mastered Queen's English, though, you know, I did learn a couple of pretty neat impressions.
Well, very few British people actually sound like...
You're the bofta!
Who is?
You're the bofta!
Oh, God, are you in that feud you say again? Look, sorry, I didn't mean to mock your feet. They're lovely, really.
No, I'm doing one of my impressions. It's the Scottish Sergeant Major from It Ain't Half Hot, Mom.
Oh, thank God, I thought you'd gone feral again.
Trust me, when I go feral, you'll know.
Okay, I'll remember that. Great impression, anyway. So, what I'd like to talk about...
You're the bofta!
As I said, great. Though that wasn't quite as guttural as the last one.
Have you seen It Ain't Half Hot, Mom?
Well, no, but I'm just saying...
You're just saying you don't know what you're talking about.
No, I'm just saying the first two were more growly.
If it's growly you're after, I can do that in a heartbeat.
No, that's fine. So, what else did you watch?
Well, one of my other favourites was very shocking. It was a disturbing study of severe personality disorders. You may know what it was called. Some mothers do have them.
Right. Well, that I do remember. I'm not sure it qualifies as social
realism. You petty!
Was that you doing...
The guy from Some Mothers Do Have Them, correct?
Okay.
Pretty accurate too, so my British friends tell me.
It was all right, but I think accurate's a bit of a stretch.
Can you do better? Be my guest?
Well, I could, but look, we should probably wrap this up soon and... See, what you got wrong was the intonation.
Oh, here we go.
No, listen. You went, oh, Betty. That's camp. Frank Spencer was childish. It needs to be more like, oh, Betty.
They sound identical, man.
No, they don't.
Oh, Betty and oh, Betty
are totally different. I'm doing a little boy. You're doing a gay stereotype.
Oh, so you're calling me gay now?
No, I'm not.
Well, maybe you're gay. Ever thought of that?
Oh, maybe you're gay, eh? Or should I say, maybe
you're that poofka? Boy, that really didn't land.
Oh, well, I haven't seen it ever. You have, and yours was still rubbish.
Yeah, thing is, Matt, I'm 265 years old. I didn't learn to talk until I was 259. Who am I supposed to be, Mike frickin' Yarwood?
Okay, I'm sorry. Can we move on
now? No, Betty!
Okay, that was much better. I'll give you that. Right, shall we talk
You're the pufta!
Perfect. Though we should probably stop saying pufta now.
What does it even mean?
It's just a nasty, outdated slang term for homosexual men.
Oh, kind of wish someone had told me that.
Well, now you know. So, I'm guessing you don't get gay Bigfoots then?
No, we occasionally practice sodomy, but usually as a form of punishment.
Right. I'd better not offend you then.
Well, I believe that ship sailed.
Well, I didn't mean to cause any offense.
It's kind of hard to believe that when you use crass terms like Bigfoot straight off the bat.
All right, I'm sorry. To be fair, though, you do have big feet.
That doesn't make it any less offensive.
No, but it's accurate. They're massive.
Well, so was my face, but nobody ever called me Big Head.
But that would be accurate, too. It's stating a fact. If they'd called you Littlefoot, that would be offensive.
Well, thank God I have a human here to tell me what's offensive. So, by your logic, you wouldn't mind if I called you, I don't know, Shitty Haircut?
Yeah, well, that's just being mean.
What about black people? You call them brown skins?
No, of course not, but that's... So what name do you prefer?
How about the God-given tribal name bestowed upon me by my father?
So not God-given, then?
My father acted on God's instructions. I guess you missed theology class too, huh?
So what was this tribal name?
Colin.
Colin?
Yes, Colin. I'm sorry it's not as exotic as Brian or as boring as Matthew.
Well, no, it just doesn't sound very tribal, that's all. It's a human name.
And?
And you said you didn't understand English until you were 365.
259. Oh, and FYI, Colin is a translation.
Right. I'm getting confused here. Did you speak English or not?
No, we didn't speak English. We communicated via grunts and growls, which I later translated. Jeez, what's so hard to grasp?
So you had your own language then?
Bingo! So what may sound to the human ear like an animalistic din could actually be an intelligent conversation on fine art, politics, literature, you name it, we discussed it. Apart from sports, that was off limits.
And when you say politics, do you mean Bigfoot politics?
No, our political landscape was kind of primitive. Although, you know, I look at your leaders and think maybe you could do with a bunch of giant savages calling the shots. But our day-to-day conversations revolved around fairly mundane issues, fighting, mating, human sacrifice. We did take an interest in current affairs, though, and, you know, often debated them.
And you did this by grunting?
Sure, but one man's grunt is another man's salient contribution. So, for instance, if I were to say, you'd be forgiven for thinking I was yelling at you, but I was actually asking you your opinion on the Supreme Court repealing of Roe versus Wade.
Okay, so... I'm not sure what...
I just asked you again.
Right, I get that, but you could have been saying anything, really.
No, it was pretty clear.
Well, to you maybe, but for all I know, you were asking me about my favourite cheese.
If I was asking you about your favourite cheese, I would have said...
Yeah, silly me, they're totally different. Look, right...
Glad we got there. So, as I was saying... What the hell are you doing?
Answering the question?
Actually, you just told me your uncle is a lawnmower, so no, you're not. But well done for mocking my mother tongue. Real grown up.
Right, well, you didn't say if you wanted me to answer in English or Bigfoot. Glish.
No, I don't want you to answer at all. I'm just giving you an example.
Well, good, because that whole Roe Wade thing's just too controversial to get into.
It's a topic for another day, I get it. Though, I gotta say, I'm kind of amused by your whole abortion discourse.
Why's that?
Well, let's just say in my culture, ripping an unborn infant from its mother's womb isn't quite the taboo it is in yours.
Oh, right. Yeah, you lot probably eat them, don't you?
So you have done some research. That's correct. Well done.
Okay, I think we should wrap this up now. So, look, I don't normally do this, but I genuinely think you need some help.
Not keen on the baby-eating stuff, huh?
It's not that I'm not keen on it. It's more that I don't believe it. You're not a Bigfoot. They don't exist.
Oh, so you're the arbiter of what is and isn't real now. Okay, so what else doesn't exist? Climate change? Islamophobia? Dracula?
Look, you need to stop being so defensive. I'm willing to help you here. Why do... Dracula?
No doubt you're going to tell me he was actually a plumber from Wisconsin.
Oh, for God's sake.
You know, I see now we have nothing left to say to each other, Matthew, so I'm going to gather up my ugly, enormous feet and...
Don't be like that. I want to help.
Come on, sit back down. No, it's fine. You lifted the rock and didn't like what you saw. You're not the first and you won't be the last. Story of my life, man. Story of my...
Brian, I'm sorry I upset you. Please sit back down.
Oh, God, you're right, man. I need help. I'm really struggling here.
Okay, calm down. Have you ever seen a therapist?
No. I refuse to be prodded and exploited like some sideshow freak.
It's not like that. You just need a sympathetic ear. Possibly some strong medication too, but we'll get to that.
You really think I can trust doctors after what happened to me? Are you nuts?
Okay. Look, is there anyone else you can talk to?
There is somebody. He's probably the only one who truly understands what I've been through.
Well, why don't you arrange to speak to him today?
It's not as simple as that. He's based in the UK and he's not always easy to contact.
I'll tell you what, this is probably a crazy idea, but have you got a passport?
They gave me one as ID when they let me out, though. I never thought I'd use it.
Okay, listen. Why don't you fly back with me tonight?
To England? I don't have that kind of money, Matt.
The ticket was free, as it's already paid for. As long as you don't mung eating mung bean salad on the plane, it's all yours.
Yeah, I don't know.
Come on, Brian. You need this.
I just don't know if I can go 8 hours without red meat. I am a hunter, after all.
Okay, we'll swap. You can have mine. But first things first, I need to transfer this ticket into your name. Whatever that is.
You mean you'd pay a couple of $100 to do that? Just for me?
I'll tell you what, maybe we could track this guy down online.
No, forget it!
No, listen, you just tell me his name.
Forget it, Manny!
Okay, I'll do it. But, Dad, if you're listening, we could do with that cash injection, like, now.
I just don't know what to say, Matthew. This is so very kind of you.
That's okay. Look, there's not been much good come out of these podcasts. It'd be good for me to actually help someone for a change. So where's this friend of yours based, anyway?
Scotland, currently.
Oh, well, that's not too bad. It's just up the road from me. So, I'll tell you what, we'll land in Newcastle, put you on a mega bus, and get you the help you need. Sound good?
It sounds pretty awesome, Matt. I'm so grateful.
Don't mention it. So what is this guy's name, anyway?
I never actually caught it, but I believe he's known locally as the Loch Ness Monster.
Oh, fuck off.